If anyone is moved to take advantage of the sacrament of confession during Mass, Father Dave is back there. And as we heard the announcement at the beginning of Mass, to those who much has been entrusted, much will be demanded. And this Thursday, we have the beautiful opportunity of a holy day of obligation where we can come and honor the Mother of Jesus. And he loves her very much, and he doesn't want anybody to mess with her, so he would love to see us there on Thursday, this beautiful opportunity to honor the Mother of the God of the universe, who is now in heaven, body and soul. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We have to ask ourselves, does faith still matter? We live in a world, we live in a culture that doesn't value faith. A culture that thinks we're enlightened, we don't need beliefs, we don't need medieval superstitions. We've been enlightened. We've seen the light. We have technology. Life is so much better than what it used to be. And we see this in the way some of our friends, family are living their lives. And maybe we have the temptation ourselves that faith no longer has the role that it used to have in our lives, in society. More people than ever are claiming to be atheists. More people than ever are not raising their children with the gift of baptism, which is necessary to go to heaven. And we have to ask ourselves, what's up with faith? Is St. Paul's definition, does it still ring true? Does faith still matter? We think these last couple weeks we've been hearing about prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. Do we still ask God for these things? Or, because the culture has advanced so much, which is good because God wants it to, when we want our daily bread, do we go to the supermarket and get whatever tasty delights we want to have a full, content stomach? Do we go on Amazon and get whatever we need whenever we want it? And we can, and that's great. Deliver us from evil. Do we ask for that? Or are we just all good people? Everybody's going to heaven, right? We hear these things when we talk with people in our culture. We have to interrogate them. We say, is this true? Is it really that way? The culture, the creation is so great. It's so beautiful because it's God's gift to us. He wants us to be happy. And he's created us with a soul which is immaterial, which when we die, when we're put in the ground, our soul continues on. And there's two places that it can go. It can go to heaven and be united with God and see the face of the Blessed Trinity for all eternity and be incredibly, supremely happy. Or our soul can go to hell and it can suffer the pains of loss of God for all eternity, and it can be tormented by demons and suffer in a way that we can't ever imagine. But even more great is what our Lord wants to offer us. Eternal life, going to heaven. And how do we get there? Faith. To understand faith in our lives, I think we can look to what we heard in the responsorial psalm, beautifully sung once again by the choir. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. The reality is, God is passionate about us. He's created us. He's thought of us from all eternity, and he loves us so much that he sent his only son to be passionate for us to the extreme, to show us the greatest love on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Our Lord's passion is a sign of God's passion for us, and he wants us to be passionate for him. He's created us for himself, and our hearts are restless until they find him. We can go to the store and we can take care of the needs of our body, but we can't go to the store and take care of the needs of our soul. You can't go to aisle 12 and buy a can of eternal salvation. It's not there. The world can't provide forgiveness for our sins. The world cannot feed you with the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord in Holy Communion. Only Jesus can do that. Only his cross can save us, can give us eternal life. And he shows us the reality of this in our lives by tangible things, by real things. Faith is just not, it's just not superstition. It's just not good feelings. It's something real. It's something you can chomp into, latch onto. You can chew on it like a cow chews its cud and remunerates about how good it maybe it tastes. We can do the same thing with our faith because it is substantial. It's the evidence of things not seen. So how do we unpack this? How do we realize this? When we live in a culture that doesn't believe in miracles anymore either. If you ever make a pilgrimage to, say, Holy Hill, the Shrine of Mary, Help of Christians, and you see the beautiful statue of Our Lady, Mary, Help of Christians, and outside of the chapel, there's all these crutches. There's braces from people who have been healed because their faith was so strong that they trust that God could save them from their sins, that he could get them to heaven, and that he could heal them of their ailments. And we have to ask ourselves, do miracles still happen? Maybe we don't necessarily see them or experience them in our lives, but there's two that happen every single day and that we can encounter on a very frequent basis. The first miracle, one way that God is passionate about us, the forgiveness of our sins. We can go to the beautiful sacrament of confession, and we can hear the priest say, "I absolve you from your sins." It's not, "I don't have the power to absolve you from your sins." Only God can do that. But the priest says, "I," because when we go to that sacrament, we encounter the loving mercy of God the Father. We say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And he blesses us. And then the Son who takes away sin says, "I absolve you." That's a miracle. Only God can do that. What's another miracle, another way that God is passionate about us and for us? Every time we come to Holy Mass, the beautiful opportunity we have every Sunday to praise God, to adore God, to give thanks for everything that he's done for us, everything that he's given us, and to pour out our hearts before him, asking him for what we need. What do we hear at the words of consecration? When ordinary bread and wine turn into the body and the blood, in the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ who walked the face of this earth, here and now, what does the priest say? "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body." The same thing with the chalice. "Take this, all of you, and drink of it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood in the new eternal covenant, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Once again, the priest is not saying, this is Jesus's blood, this is Jesus's body, but the priest says, this is my body, and this is my blood. Not Father Peter's, but Jesus, who is truly present in our midst and who acts through his priest to be present to his church. He's the one that performs the miracle of changing bread into his body and wine into blood to be the food of our souls, the food for our journey as we get to heaven. These are miracles that we experience. And we can say to the world, when they doubt the power of faith, the reality of faith, say, you know what? I have evidence that God is real, that God exists. You know why? Because he forgave my sins in confession. And because he changed bread and wine into the food of my soul. What greater proof could one ask for the existence of God? And it's what our faith tells us. Faith are our eyeglasses through which we see into the beautiful mystery of God, who we want to contemplate for all eternity. Heaven is going to be one incredible, wow, that's amazing. And just when you think you've been wowed, there's going to be another wow, which continues forever. We have lots of breaking news these days, and just when you think the news is broken, it breaks again. Heaven is the breaking news which never gets boring, which never ends, and we should want it because our Lord wants us to be passionate about him, because he has first been passionate about us. So I know it's early in the morning, the coffee has not kicked in maybe yet, and we had the long readings and the windy priest is speaking a lot, so I promise I'll conclude with this. It's a beautiful prayer from a spiritual son of St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuit order. And it's very practical, and I think it could help us to meditate this week on what's most important in life. It's short, don't worry. Nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in quite an absolute and final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, especially Sunday, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose Assumption we celebrate this Wednesday, who is our mother, who loves us incredibly much and wants us to be with her son, Jesus, in heaven. May Almighty God bless us all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.